Welcome to Millennials Love, where we discuss the culture, trends, and obsessions of the millennial generation. I'm your host, Sharon Haddon, and whether you are a millennial or you know a millennial, you're guaranteed to hear something useful, something fun, and something inspiring. Joining us today is Jones Laughlin, a keynote speaker and trainer helping others prepare for excellence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Millennials Love Work-Life Balance. Jones, thank you for joining us today to talk about what I feel is really a touchy subject across generations in the workplace.
Absolutely, Sharon. I'm delighted to be a part of your podcast today because it is a topic that we view differently generationally and can cause some real frustration in the workplace.
I'd really like you to tell us a little bit about yourself and just share your definition of work-life balance.
Sure. I have been a speaker and trainer to organizations for about 21 years. My background is education. I specialize in the area of work-life balance, work-life satisfaction, productivity. That's really where my strongest passions lie in this whole training and development field. With a background as an educator, I really have a passion for helping people get what I'm offering them. So I try to always tie things into a metaphor, an analogy, or some type of mental blueprint, if you will, so that they can apply the strategies more quickly and more effectively after the presentation or the training program, and especially 30, 60 days, 90 days out. So just love hanging out with people, and that's one of the things that's really fascinating about what I do. And on that note, this whole idea of work-life balance, it's really been an evolution for me because when I first wrote Juggling Elephants back in 2005 along with Todd Musick, it really was the buzzword in the industry was work-life balance. And so even in some of the initial trainings that I did, I kind of went from that perspective of, you know, balancing work and your other areas of your life means that you are spending less time here and more time there. But I have evolved in understanding that, you know, it's really not so much about work-life balance. It's what we say. It's the buzzword. It's the term. It's like saying Kleenex instead of tissue. But really what work-life balance is to me is finding satisfaction in all areas of your work and life. And we try to find that satisfaction by spending less time at work or working more effectively when we're outside of the job. But at the heart, I think it really is more about satisfaction than it is about balance, because if you, and we'll get to a little bit more about what I mean by that later, but if you're really always looking for balance, you're just trying to take away from one and give to the other, and that's not necessarily an efficient process. You may not be using your time wisely, so spending 12 hours at work one day may be no more effective than 8 if you're not using that time effectively.
I was sharing with you a little. I worked a conference over this weekend, and in thinking about, you know, the 10-hour days to put it together and make sure everything runs smoothly, and then the travel time, and then making sure everybody's accommodated, there aren't possibly enough hours in the day to balance it all. You just have to find, as you said, some level of satisfaction between that home life and that work life, correct?
Right. And you know, Sharon, you and I did talk to about the conference, and you said you were getting ready to start a long weekend for you. And that's part of what I really hope people can begin to understand about this whole work-life balance, work-life satisfaction. It's about being proactive, and that there are going to be lots of times that you are going to have to spend an inordinate amount of hours making sure something is done well. You couldn't stop in the planning of your conference and go, I've spent enough time on this for one day. I'm going to go take some time for myself or go hang out with my friends. You knew that you had to stay focused on that particular work project until it was done. Then you could say to yourself, okay, I've got this time. How am I going to use it effectively for myself? Because too often we don't plan for those times outside of work as passionately as we do for work. And, you know, you could find yourself, oh, yeah, I spent all that time on the conference. You know, and I was looking forward to those 2 days off, but, you know, I really didn't plan anything. And so, gosh, now it's time to go back to work, and I'm not refreshed. I'm not renewed. What am I doing wrong?
This sounds very close to your book title, Juggling Elephants. It says an easier way to get your most important things done now. Tell us a little bit about your book.
Juggling Elephants is one of those metaphors. It's a parable about a man who's struggling with too much to do, and he feels like that he's not doing his best at his job, he's not doing the best with the relationships in his life, and he's not succeeding in taking care of his own personal well-being. And so he goes to a circus, of all things, with his daughter. He's not happy about going, he's not looking forward to it, goes to the circus with his daughter and begins to see through the eyes of a couple of ringmasters who he visits at the circus that, you know, there's a whole lot to managing your life like a circus. And, of course, when I say that, immediately people start popping images of clowns in their head and loud music and sawdust and the smell of elephant dung and all those things. But if you start pulling back the layers, the circus offers a really fascinating look at how we can better manage this work-life balance, this work-life satisfaction equation. You've got three rings, just like you have three key areas to your life, and you've got to have quality time, or quality acts, as we say in the book, in all three. And if you don't, then the circus suffers, and, of course, our own lives suffer if we don't have quality activities in each one of the three rings of our life. So the story follows Mark as he learns more, applies more to understand how to use this circus metaphor to balance and manage his own life.
Well, could you give us maybe three tips of how we can better manage our work life, you know, against our personal lives?
Right. Number one, and, you know, we say it and it sounds cliche, but it's live on purpose. One of the things that is so clear in today's busy world is that in the morning we take on the first task that we have to do. We take on the first crisis. We engage with social media and begin interacting with people there. But we don't always stop and go, okay, what's the purpose, you know, for my day? What's the purpose for my life? Even by saying, you know, what do I want to have at the end of the day? And, you know, a lot of us don't take the time to stop and say, what is it that I really do? What is it I really want to have at the end of the day? And it's not that you want to be physically drained, mentally frustrated, and you know, emotionally, you know, depleted. You really want to finish the day and go, wow, I feel like I accomplished things of value today, things that are important to me as a person. And if you live on purpose and stop to think about your outcomes that you're looking for, then you can begin to align what you say is important with what you actually do. So I think living on purpose is one part of that. Secondly, is to realize you're not going to get everything done. I watch so many people struggle because they think they've got to get it all done. If they have the right technology, if they've drunk enough coffee or Red Bull or something, you know, if they go without enough sleep, that they're going to get everything done. And it's just not possible. That's juggling elephants that we talk about. I think it's really important for us to say, you know what, some things are not going to get done. For example, in my world, you know, I have a wife, two children. One's off at college. One's here, still here at home. You know, I have a lawn around my home that, you know, and I love working in flower beds. I love taking care of my lawn, seeing it lush and green. But I've had to realize that, you know what, while my kids are young and while there's a lot of other things that I should be working on in my life that are part of my purpose, you know, that yard's going to go. You know, it's going to look awful. I mean, I can look outside when I'm home now, and there's brown spots, and there's crabgrass, and my flower beds are filled with weeds. So what? You know, because there are more important things. Somebody joked with me one day, and they says, didn't you used to teach horticulture and teach how to people to have lush green lawns and flower beds? And I says, listen, I'm growing kids right now. I'll grow grass later. and I know a lot of your listeners, of course, you know, maintain in households and your health and wellness and around the home and different things. You know, how clean does your house have to be? Very, very few children grew up and said, you know, it was always dusty on the hutch at our home. I could write my name in the coffee table, and that scarred me for life. No, you know, those things, you know, in the context of what's really important, they aren't as important as the relationships, as of taking care of yourself. And so I think that's the key is just, hey, you're not going to get everything done. It's about getting those most important things done. If you live on purpose, you can determine those. Number three is to plan more proactively for things outside of work. And I love what you do at Reach for Cosmos about this, about helping individuals understand the need to take care of themselves. We do such an amazing job of planning for work tasks and work projects. And then we do a decent job of planning for the relationships in our life. But we do a lousy job, and I know you see this so often, we do a lousy job planning for ourselves and things that we want.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of work. And go back to the three rings again. If it's a three-ring circus, you got to have quality acts in all three rings. I think it's so critical that individuals plan proactively. How am I going to spend that time outside of work instead of going home after a tough day and sitting down and binge-watching, you know, House of Cards or something like that? We've got to be more proactive about that time outside of work. So it is the renewal time we need to go back and do a good job the next day at work. And we talked about it a moment ago, is that lack of balance is okay. If you look at a circus at any point in the performance, it's out of balance. There's a big act going on in one ring, maybe a middle-sized act going on in another ring, and maybe another ring's dark. A lack of balance is okay, and especially for millennials, they're at a time in their life when they are devoting a tremendous amount of hours to work, and that's okay, because as they develop, you know, relationships and move towards, you know, long-term relationships and begin thinking about having children, you know, as long as they haven't neglected it too much, I mean, I think there's a fine line there, then there'll be time for those things as you know, they mature in their jobs. But that a lack of balance is okay, because that's natural.
Those are all great tips, and I'm very thankful for our bonus. Living on purpose, you know, you're not going to get everything done. Take care of yourself, and a lack of balance is okay. And that is actually something that I struggle with. Sometimes I just go, man, I wish I could get it all done. And when I don't, it almost leaves you feeling disappointed.
Exactly. That's it, because here we go with these universal statements, but we have come to believe, and through lots of cultures' influences on us, that we can get it all done. But as you know, and as you see a lot of people who try to do that, they're not doing a good job in any of them. They're not being an effective partner. They're not being a good parent. They're not doing well in their job, because they're just trying to do literally too much. We can't get it all done.
You wrote a post on how millennials don't want work-life balance, and I love how you kind of brought your kids in and your college-age daughter, because she was featured in this. and you talked about how we as millennials, we don't want work-life balance. You know, we prefer a blend. Could you explain how blending work-life with your personal life may just be changing the growing workforce?
You know, it was fascinating about that post, because when I wrote it, I really was inspired, probably too strong of a word. I was motivated by the fact that I do hear so many people in the workforce of other generations besides millennials who sometimes call the millennials slackers. They say, hey, they're not interested in getting the job done. And I really took offense at that, because, again, very personal, I know my own daughter, and I know lots of other millennials, and I've had interns in my office. And, you know, they have a fantastic work ethic. Their creativity is amazing. They want to get things done well. How they approach it is a little bit different, and it is becoming so much of the workplace now. We see with technology that people do want to stay connected with people outside of work during work hours, and that's okay, you know, again, within some boundaries, because we have become such a connected world. That is their refreshing, that is their renewal, that is their opportunity to connect with some positive people in their life that maybe they don't have as much of at work. And so technology is certainly a part of that. One of the other things that we see driving that is, you know, we're so much more outcomes-based now. I tell a personal story. I was talking with a manager who was not a millennial, and he was talking about, you know, it seems like every time one of these millennials gets a vacation day, they take it. Here's a guy who has probably enough vacation days, he could go away for a month, and he may not get the chance to use it, you know, because of lots of things that could happen. Also, we, you know, millennials understand the need for more frequent renewal. They've come to expect and want that, and I think the workforce is recognizing that. And so I just think it's so important that, you know, as we look across the different generations, that we realize, hey, it's not a negative work ethic. It's a different work ethic. And the fact that that millennial or that Gen Xer even wants to take a vacation day when they get it, you know, super, because they may have seen a parent who saved up vacation days and then kept having work projects that kept them from taking vacation. It may also, and I see this and it just breaks my heart, it may be someone who said, you know, if I can save up all my vacation days, I can retire 6 months early. Well, they retire 6 months early, and then they have a health condition or a spouse's health condition that you know, all of a sudden, all that those things they had looked forward to, they're not going to get to experience now. I just think it's so important that we look at that. And I think the other thing that we talked about, how it's changing the workplace, I think it's changing the communication. There has to be so much more effective, that's too weak of a word, but so much more communication that's clear, that describes in real terms what the expectations are, because people are working remotely. They are working for short bursts, for sprints instead of marathons sometimes, and we have to stay in so much better communication with all the team members who are working on a project or an assignment. And again, I think that's where millennials offer an opportunity, because they're so comfortable in communicating in so many different channels to help us to understand how can we stay in touch so that work can continue to move forward, whether you're here in front of me or whether you're half a continent away.
I absolutely agree with you, and I appreciate you carrying the torch for us millennials, because I find that intergenerational communications, we don't understand each other. You know, myself as a millennial reporting to, you know, a non-millennial boss or somebody who didn't grow up with this influx of technology, who, you know, considers less work the straight 9-hour day with no breaks. It can sometimes be very difficult, and for millennials who are on the brink of new careers or in career transitions, how would you suggest they look for those great companies, those companies that might understand them and their culture? If you could throw out maybe your top three things to look for in a new company or a new career.
Sure. I always have to preface when I get asked that type of question, I always have to preface it by saying what their level of luxury is in choosing a position. You know, there are some situations where people, you know, millennials may need to just get a job doing something. They may not have the opportunity to really pick and choose, and certainly I understand those situations. Ideally, if one can, you know, look for certain things in a company and have the luxury of choice, first of all, I think it's meaningful work. And you know this from the millennial group, is that all of us seek meaningful work. But as a parent, and here's the thing, I understand, not because I have a child, but just I know as a parent, you know, what do we teach our kids, our children? We teach them that, you know, we want you to go out and change the world. We want you to go out and do something meaningful. Well, they believe it. Aha, they listen to their parents, you know. And so millennials want meaningful work. And so I think you've got to find something. If you have that luxury, you got to seek out something that is meaningful to you based on your purpose, based on what the company is doing. And that doesn't, I mean, I don't care whether you're an accountant or whether you're an environmental engineer. It doesn't matter. But how is it meaningful? Because that's going to be what will keep you engaged in that work, you know, over the long haul. Secondly, is a collaborative environment. If you sense, and if you ask the right questions, in an interview, and if you find out more about the culture of the organization, you can certainly begin to get some answers to this. But how well do people collaborate? Do they communicate, like you talked about a moment ago, effectively, so that work can get done in a way that everybody stays engaged with the assignments and the projects and the task? Is it more of that, or is it more of a command and control environment? I don't know how many conversations I have with millennial age employees, and they will talk to me about, you know, it's still this way in this organization, that organization. And, you know, again, when you're working with someone who's not a millennial, they may have a little different feel about how the environment should be. And there's not, it's not always perfect for a collaborative, you know, 100% collaboration in every project, but it is important if you're going to thrive and to grow there to be, you know, looking for that type of collaborative environment that's going to allow you to use your talents and your abilities effectively and be able to talk with individuals at different levels of the organization. And if you just simply take the position because it sounds like it's a company you want to work for, you know, that's dangerous because it may be one that on the outside looks one way, but when you get in, it's like, oh, okay, you know, this is not that environment that I'm going to thrive in. This is one that a lot of employees in general don't think about, and that is the opportunity to stretch. You know, it's important to find meaningful work. It's important to be in a collaborative environment, but especially for millennials, you know, look for an opportunity. Look for an organization that's going to give you an opportunity to stretch. It's a great interview question is that if I succeed in this organization, what are the opportunities for me in 3 years and 5 years? What type of opportunities are there for me to stretch from where I am now? I think it's just so critical because, you know, Sharon, you're on the front line. We don't know exactly what work's going to look like in 5 years.
Absolutely.
and the greater and the stronger skill set that you can have, the more varied skill set that you can have and be able to grow yourself within that organization. I don't necessarily mean by position, but I mean in opportunities you have to prove yourself, but also to learn things that you didn't previously know while you're on the job, I just think are so critical in this coming workforce.
Those are three things that we think about in our daily life, or we think about when we're looking for a career, you know, finding that meaningful work, looking for a collaborative environment, and then what are the growth opportunities or my opportunity to stretch. But we need some level of reinforcement sometimes in those transitions and, you know, what am I going to do next in my career after I graduate college?
Right, because it's easy. Once you secure a job, what's the old phrase that many people forget looking for a career once they get a job? We just don't have that long-term mindset. And again, millennials have a tough situation sometimes in the sense that, you know, a lot have a college debt. They're trying to, you know, get established in an organization. They're trying to figure out how they're going to pay off, you know, college debt, how they're going to, you know, eventually, you know, purchase a home or you know, all the different things that life is expecting of them. And so it's easy just to find a job that you say, I'm going to cruise in this for a while, and then 10 years later you go, wait a minute, I didn't plan to cruise this long.
I definitely want to let everyone know how they can connect with you, you know, where they can find your book,
sure,
purchase your product, or maybe even connect with you for some of that coaching and training. So could you tell us where you are on social media, you know, your web address?
Absolutely, Sharon. And I do want to offer one addition to that. Since we touched on work-life balance, talk about Intergenerational Day, a fantastic book. It's not by me. It's a fantastic book called Off Balance, and it's by Matthew Kelly. The book, again, is entitled Off Balance by Matthew Kelly. It has some fantastic insights on understanding this work-life balance myth that a lot of us have the expectation of. So, again, it's a great book to get. The book I've mentioned today, of course, is Juggling Elephants. Any of my books can be purchased at the website, joneslaughlin.com, or also at Amazon as both the hardcover and the Kindle edition. My website, just like my name, is www.joneslaughlin, JoneslLin.com. Lots of resources there for individuals looking for help with work-life satisfaction, change, productivity. Blog is located there as well. On other social media platforms, usually you can just type in Jones Laughlin. It will come up, whether that's Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn.
Perfect. Thank you, Jones. Again, I appreciate you being on to talk about work-life balance today, and I hope to have you back on for future interviews and future segments.
Well, you're very kind, Sharon. It would be an honor, and thanks for all the good work you're doing, because it's certainly it's so needed for all age groups, but especially one that has so many expectations being thrust upon them. It's just important to have some clarity out there. So thank you for what you're doing.
Do you have an inspirational story to share? Are you a subject matter expert, or could your business use some additional exposure? Email info@reachforcosmos.com for features and sponsorship. As always, see you next Monday on Millennials Love.